Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, part of our Baltimore Positive discussion ongoing. We're going to hear from Governor Martin O'Malley, as well as our friends down in Annapolis at the Maryland Hospital Association. But right now, we are focused on a big election, and it's not the mayor's election, correct, Don Moeller?
I'm not even sure, and Delegate, we'll talk to you about this. We're going to be with Delegate Talmadge Branch. I'm not even sure, folks. No, an election is coming up. It's strange circumstances, right? We've got an election coming up on February the 4th and another election on April 28th and then another election on November the 3rd. Do I have all the dates right?
I think you do. Talmadge Branch is joining us here. He is running for the 7th District. And first off, good day to you. We're so many candidates in a short track. I know so many of you are out day by day trying to attract a little bit of attention to this. We're hoping to put this into focus. Do you run into folks that don't even know there's an election coming up?
Hello, are you speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. It is very quiet. For some reason, it's not much advertisement about it. So you do find some people that just don't know that there's an election.
Well, obviously, this was not something any of us wanted to have. And the death of Elijah Cummins has opened this up. Some 20-some-odd members running. For you, there's the aftermath of losing Elijah, then realizing that those are large, large shoes to fill.
They are large shoes to fill. And Elijah has been a great servant, a great leader for the 7th District. I began my career under Perrin J. Mitchell, so the first African-American congressman. So I have experienced a lot of time and activity with congressmen for the district. But Elijah has been a very influential individual during this time.
Delegate Branch, what we're asking everybody, and it's I appreciate that Nestor jumped right in on that. We start with each of the candidates saying this is not, we're not just replacing an also-ran, we're replacing a giant, and you allude to that as well. This was a larger-than-life figure. What did Elijah Cummins and his service mean to you?
His service meant to me that he was an individual that put children first. That's why he created the foundation that he had for youth. He's just a public servant. I mean, to every extent, good constituent service, relations, just an overall good leader, always fighting the cause for people in the district, those that, of the least, that didn't have a voice.
Lots of folks who say D.C. is all entangled at this point, and obviously with impeachment, and you could say where you might have been or where you would have been on that, months past. I think the citizens in going out on a special election, especially on a day when there's no early election, to say I'm pulling a lever for a candidate, I think a lot of people are, if they're as frustrated with the president as certainly we are here, we're as frustrated with Congress's inability to even root out evildoers and figure this thing out. This has been a very, very messy part in American history. Tell me about you going down to D.C. as a representative of the 7th.
Well, going down into Washington, you certainly have to understand the lay of the land and how it operates and how it works. That's why you need someone with some level of experience that knows how committee structure works, how delegations work, because you'll be working with a delegation of other representatives. You have to also understand the issues and know exactly how you want to vote and how you want to cast a vote for your district. But it's more than a notion just trying to be a federal congressional member.
What do you see, Delegate, you get around, but first of all, let me back up. We ask everybody. It's a geography quiz. We test every candidate on their knowledge of the district. Tell folks who are listening in their cars, watching on their computers, tell them where the 7th District of Maryland is.
The 7th Congressional District consists of the middle east side of Baltimore, and it flows all the way west to West Baltimore, a large portion of that near Mondawmin and so on. Then it moves up into Baltimore County. It goes out into the Randallstown area and then swings over into Howard County. So it is enormous, Howard County and Columbia. So it is a very large district. It's extremely, extremely huge.
It's one of those strange Maryland congressional districts, right?
I'm not going to call it gerrymandered or anything, Delegate, but perhaps, you know.
Governor Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts lives on in infamy.
tell us what your candidacy, and you know, obviously we can go out to Branch for Congress and learn a little bit more about what you do, but putting a candidacy together, and in short time, right? Like, no one was expecting to do this, and so many of you running to the finish line. For you, top two or three things that are of paramount importance for you that when you get to D.C., other than this president himself trying to fix some things?
Well, of course, making sure that the affordable health care is in place. I'm one that totally supports that. Definitely want to make sure that we add a public option to that, which will make it where people get an opportunity to see it, compare, and pick the best insurance. It creates a competition. So I certainly want to make sure that I do that. I want to work and help federal employees get a raise. I mean, they currently, the minimum wage for them is $7.25 an hour. I'm going to support making sure that that goes up to 15. And certainly, I look at the area in the area of climate change and in the area of crime. I'm from Baltimore. I know the element of the city, and I want to make sure that I'm able to bring about that kind of change. If you look over into the Howard County area, we have flood issues there. So I want to certainly make sure that I'm able to bring money back to make sure that area is fine-tuned and able to not have the flooding that it has in the historic Ellicott City. So it's just a whole gamut of issues, but I think mainly we have to get the right kind of resources flowing back in to this 7th Congressional District. And you're going to need someone with some sort, some level of experience and know-how to do that.
Let me drill down a little bit on some of those topics. Crime, certainly, right before he passed, we had the really disappointing attacks by the president on the congressman talking about the crime and grime in Baltimore. That led to a discussion about the federal government's role in combating crime in our major cities. So I'll put it to you. You're going to be a congressman. You're going to be a one of 435. What role does the federal government play in making the streets of Baltimore safer?
Well, what they play is that you have to make sure that cities like Baltimore across the country are able to receive some sort of funding for that particular purpose. Baltimore is not the only one with a crime issue. We know that, and the president knows that. But we've got to be sure, make sure that we're able to carve out a particular amount of funding that can be forwarded to lower governments to make sure that we can combat that issue.
So I'm a guy on the street, Delegate. I'm going to jump in there for a minute because I know we have limited time. I'm a guy on the street. So you want more money. See, that's what you Dems always ask for, more money. Tell me how that money's going to make the streets of Baltimore safer. What are we going to use it for?
That money should go to programs. It should go to efforts to make sure that the city is sound. It could go to experts. It could go to the government itself. Maybe the government needs more policing. Maybe it needs some expert to look at, like Baltimore, to look at the problem with the high murder rate, to figure out a way of making that come down. So then the other monies can go to county executives. And each of these areas, and it's not many cities, but most cities with these issues have these departments with people already in place and structures already in place and resources already in place that don't have enough funding to make it operate at its full level. We need to have a say in, and we need to participate to make sure that those levels are funded.
Sounds to me, and I want to make sure that I understand, because for many of our listeners, many of our viewers, they are going to be making a decision on this race based about what they hear. It's interesting. I just got a text from someone as Nestor and I are doing this broadcast. They said, where can I get more information on the 7th District candidates? And I said, well, it's perfect timing. So I want to go back again. Are you suggesting that the role of the federal government then is to work closely with their local partners as a funding source, but that the decision for programs would be made based upon an analysis of a mayor or a county executive in the electeds in the locals?
Not made upon them. I mean, we have a responsibility as a government to make sure that we take care of areas that fall under our jurisdiction. We have to do, just like with the state of Maryland, we make sure that the locals are taken care of, and we have to assist in ways to make sure that those problems don't exist, or we have to find a way of helping them with the problem. I, as you well know, I lost a grandson to a murder. He was a murder victim in 2017, shot multiple times. I'm a grieving grandfather, so I have a stake in making sure that funding comes back to areas of not just Baltimore, but all municipalities that have the issue of high crime and high murder rate. I have a focus of having to want to rid that or combat that.
Well, first of all, Delegate, we're both very sorry for your loss. We talked recently, and I know you know him well. We talked with T.J. Smith, talked about the tragedy of losing a brother. As a grandfather, I think these kinds of stories, as painful as they are helpful in trying to get Baltimore moving in a new direction. Talk about the family pain and loss of learning that you lost a grandson to this urban violence.
First, you don't even believe it. You never think it would happen to you. I mean, then all of a sudden you get this crazy call about somebody's been shot. And then for me, as a grandfather, and my daughter's calling me saying, hey, Dad, Tyrone's been shot, and they're crying, and I'm calming her down. So, well, if things will be all right, I'm not knowing how bad it was.
So for you, it's not even real. It doesn't even compute at that point.
You're so confused. You don't know what to do. I mean, it is an amazing, unusual, it's a feeling you wouldn't want to wish on anyone.
Can you talk us through justice in the aftermath of that? You know, and obviously in an elected way, we had a long chat with Martin O'Malley about death penalty, earlier this week. I can't imagine the rage and the torment that comes in the aftermath of that. But then the government gets involved with how the gun got there, who had the gun, who did this to my grandson, what's the price to pay? The aftermath of that for everyone is very, very complicated.
Yes, the aftermath is complicated and is very different. Some people get a resolution or justice, and some don't. Some never get closure. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I was one that did. They caught the guys that did what they did, and they're both serving natural life sentences. But it doesn't happen for everyone. And you live with this. It doesn't end. It never ends.
Right.
I cry sometimes just driving from Annapolis, and it just hits you. You think about it. A name, the age, anything will make you think of that person or a specific moment.
Do you relive it every day when you wake up to another headline of yet another young African-American male shot and killed on the streets of Baltimore?
The police department sends me, by way of my district, the 45th district, they send me a list of they send me a list of every time somebody dies, I get a notice that someone in my district died. And every time I read it, I have to pause for a moment because I realize what that first call or what that call is going to be like when that parent answers the other end of the phone or when that parent answers the door. I know what it's going to be like.
Right, right. You've walked in their shoes. Again, if you're listening to the show, we're with Delegate Talmadge Branch running for one of the many candidates. We say it's a field of thousands running for the 7th Congressional District. Delegate, something that's just as challenging but perhaps a little less personal. Where are you on, I mean, everybody's going to be back in there in that Congress in November. You'll be one of 435. Where are you on health care? What do we need to do in terms of health care in the United States of America?
Healthcare is extremely important, costly. We have to find a way of making sure that it is affordable and affordable for every American. Again, that's why I want to make sure that affordable healthcare receives a public option. So it becomes a healthcare. The public option allows for competition. It allows for you to pick and choose which ones that's better for you. The healthcare for all, the overall healthcare that Bernie Sanders is talking about, I don't even know how we would pay for that. That's the problem I have with that particular system. I don't know how we would pay for that.
So you come down on the side of improving Obamacare and adding
exactly.
A public option to it?
Yes, I do. And removing the penalty that it has in it that already penalize people that don't have health care. So I would also look to do something like that. But hopefully we got to get me there.
Tied in. February 4th, ladies and gentlemen. Nestor's on a mission, Delegate, to remind people that democracy is not a spectator sport. I don't care if it's snowing, raining. February 4th, if you're in the 7th District, get out and vote. Now, tied into health care is this whole opioid crisis in the United States. What should the federal government be doing to help us fight the opioid crisis?
There's another issue, that we should be involved in areas that have this problem. If you're on the Appropriations Committee, you know how to do that. You know how to bring money back. You know how to fight for money for areas. I served on I was the vice chair of Appropriations in the state of Maryland, and that's what you learn to do is to bring money back to communities to make them better. We need to do that in Congress, make sure that areas with high numbers, concentrated number of opioid issues are funded. We've got to find solutions. We have to find treatment and places to put these people. I mean, it is the epidemic of opioids is much worse than that of heroin. So we have a duty to make sure that local governments are funded in a way that we can assist them with that issue.
Delegate Talmadge Branch joining us here. Member of the Maryland House of Delegates representing District 45. Tell us about your work in 45 and the things you're most proud of. I mean, when you run and you're already sitting in a seat somewhere, all the judgment comes from the private citizens like Don is now and myself now that he's out of being out of government at this point. But you do want to run and rest on the things you've done. Tell us about 45. Tell us what's going on over there, the good, the bad, and the improvements and the hopes?
Well, we've created over in East Baltimore numerous projects. Eager Park is one of the most recent, which is over by Johns Hopkins, which has really transformed 88 acres of land and property into new homes and residential area. I'm very proud to go through there. So
would that be Broadway, then north of the hospital? Yeah.
That would be, yes, north of the hospital, headed to, if you know where the hospital is, headed towards North Avenue.
What I would call where Sears was.
Nestor can find the hospital in his sleep.
That's going north.
You're older than me. So when I say Sears, they call it the courthouse.
Yeah, I
call it Sears.
Talking about.
you know, I had driven through that area, and you know, we had a conversation a few weeks ago with Police Commissioner Harrison, and I maybe it was TJ we were talking, TJ Smith, about Flint Gregory Hunt and the murder that happened in that area. That was a really, really, you know, downtrodden area back in the 1980s, and to drive through there as often as I had, it's very obvious when I drive through parts of Baltimore that have been challenged or abandoned, but when you've been doing it as long as I have, you can also drive down and say, hey, what happened here? This is one of the places that's rising up. So, you know, I was not aware of... Tell me when that started over there, because again, I lost a friend of mine, a police officer was murdered in an alley there in 1984. We're going back a long time now, but I remember that being an area I drove by many, many times because I lost a friend in that area, and I drive by there now, and I say, there's been some love here. Is that the federal government? Is that Baltimore City, the state? I mean, how does that happen?
That's Baltimore City. I think that was an initiative of Governor O'Malley. I believe he was mayor at the time, and he created the EBDI, East Baltimore Development, something or another. But he created that. They controlled 88 acres of land. And we set that board up, and as a result of that, we started developing. The state of Maryland took care of the acquisition for the first 10 years, but it moved beyond that. It's been about 14 or 15 that we've been taking care of the acquisition there, of clearing off, of having the properties cleared off, tearing down, demolishing, and so on.
What's the biggest challenge in that, Delegate? I mean, in tearing things down, I've heard all sorts of things, but, I mean, you have some places in your area that you'd like to continue that model, right? To say 20 years from now, look at what I did, right?
Oh, yeah. We did Orchard Ridge, which was the old Freedom Way apartments. We tore all that down, rebuilt that. There are homes there. We've done a lot of that, a lot of development in the city, in the east side, that I'm very proud of. And so, but my issue in being a representative there and my reputation has always been development as well as economic, bringing the economics back to that side, trying to put people back to work, trying to create a decent place to live. So that's kind of always been my focal point.
All right, Delegate, here we go. We're 3 weeks out. We're going to give you the famous 30 to 45 seconds. Those folks listening, February 4th, Wise Talmadge Branch, the best candidate for Congress.
Why Talmadge Branch? Because Talmadge Branch has the experience. He served in Washington with Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell. I've been in service. I've been serving the state of Maryland as a Maryland state legislator for the past 25 years. I'm currently the whip of the House. I'm a proven leader, being the whip, the longest serving whip ever in the history of Maryland. I'm chair of the Maryland Legislative Black Caucus, vice chair of the Appropriations Committee, which brings the money home to the city. And having the ability to deliver not just for Baltimore, but for the entire state of Maryland. I chair of the Welfare Reform Committee, which revamped the welfare reform system. I'm a leader. I'm a proven leader that's still working for the 7th District and the 45th District.
You've got that speech down pat. There you go. Your folks will be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening. We're talking with Delegate Talmadge Branch. The election is February the 4th. Those of us at Baltimore Positive thank our sponsors at Fadley's, Jennings, State Fair, Center Maryland. All of this is made possible by them. Nestor, democracy is not
a spectator sport. Delegate Branch, we appreciate you, man. Good luck to you and everyone. So many qualified, great people we've chatted with. It's great to spend some time with you. Thanks for your time
today. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
You.
Talmadge
Branch, delegate from the 45th District, joining us here. I am Nestor. He is Don. We are Baltimore Positive. You're listening to WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.